This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Jones and Keith, WEEI, covered a lot of ground on the show today. Some breaking news. It's been a late-breaking coaching carousel.
Yeah.
So we touched on the Mike McDaniel news earlier in the day out in Miami, connecting dots, reading tea leaves. We assume Harbaugh's going there, but I guess that remains to be seen. I think that wouldn't be a great choice for him, but I also think it's not great that he's in the division for Patriots fans. Keith was talking about this earlier today, and I'd agree. So we touched on that today. We talked head coaches, ranking the 14 coaches in the postseason. Mike Vrabel checks in number four behind McVay, Shanahan, and to much controversy, Nick Sirianni. That's up now at Jones and Keith. If you want to go check those rankings out, if you want to discuss any of it, you can discuss at 617-779-7937. We also talked to Taylor Kyles, Keith, and you can give that a re-listen on the Odyssey app. Use the rewind feature and you won't miss a second of Jones and Keith. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. We asked him something that we started the show talking about, and it's worth circling back to. Outside of the quarterbacks, we're simpletons. We think it's going to come down to the QBs, Drake May v. Justin Herbert, but we spent a lot of time talking about that. Who will be the biggest impact players beyond the quarterbacks? Taylor Kyles said the running backs. He thinks the running game is going to be significant in this. Who controls the clock? Who holds the football? Who keeps the other quarterback off the field? Who stays on the field by keeping the chains moving? How did you answer biggest impact player non-quarterback?
Big Milt. And I guess that kind of does factor into the running game a little bit, too. Right? He'll be one of the guys responsible for slowing down the running game of the Chargers, but also making it difficult for Justin Herbert, who has not played well in his two chances in the playoffs. They're missing two of their best offensive linemen, although those are tackles. I don't know if Milton will always be up against those guys, but you get the point. Like, they're undermanned offensive line. You paid Milton Williams a lot of money. He had a great regular season. You know, he missed a couple of games, but he was back, and it was great to see him back. So it's not like you go into this one like, how healthy is he going to be? What's he going to look like? He was great. So I feel like this guy is going to continue his great season, show why you you paid him all that money. He's going to reward you for it. Also has the playoff experience that not everybody else on this team has. Like, you know, he plays well in big games, and the matchup's there for him to have a really, really good game.
So I agree. I think Milton Williams is, you want to talk about an impact player, the matchup is there with the Chargers and their lack of offensive linemen. And it's not just the tackles. I mean, they're beat up across the board and poor across the board. I think the way he came back and flashed last week against Miami, you mentioned his run through the postseason last year. So I agree on all those points. I think Milton Williams, this is why you paid him. This is why you got him. This is a matchup to exploit. So go dominate. And one of the things we got pushed back yesterday on the tail of the tape was us giving the checkmark to the Patriots defensive line over the Chargers defensive line. I think I was just more of an issue with wording, because when we got into edge rushers we got into linebackers, we gave the check marks to the Chargers. I do think on the interior D-line with Barmore and Williams, the Pats have the advantage, and I think that's going to show. I think that's going to be a big factor in why they win. It might impact the running game. Some other names that we considered, you mentioned who? You mentioned Derwin James.
And I feel like that's only more so after talking to Taylor Kyles. So Kyles brought up how Orondé Gadsden, who we kind of like skipped past yesterday. We're like, all right, you know, yeah, Hunter Henry's better.
I mean, I think we mentioned him, but we gave the check mark to Hunter Henry. Yeah.
But like Henry's better. And I still think Henry is better. But if you're a tight end, would you rather go up against Woodson and Hawkins or Derwin James? Like, it's not even close.
Yeah, he has the way, they have the much better matchup.
Yeah, so you just want, like, overall production, you might be able to get more out of the tight end. So even if, like, Gonzalez and Davis and Marcus Jones have a good game with their trio of wide receivers, maybe that's a spot where Herbert can have success. And then the flip side, you know, the Patriots are down Mac Hollins, so you're looking at the list of guys that Drake May fully trust and will go to on, you know, third down or whatever else it is. Hunter Henry has emerged as one of the top guys. And then Austin Hooper seems to, like, here and there come up with big plays. And that's all you need in the playoffs is a couple of really big plays. And if Derwin James is there to sort of erase that, then, all right, that could sort of, you know, draw these teams a little bit closer together.
I think you listen to the way – it's not quite Ed Reed. Like, I think Hart and Fitz, you were talking about this yesterday. It's not quite Ed Reed, but the way that Vrabel – May,
yeah.
Diggs, Hunter Henry, when we talked to him on Monday, the way they're all talking about Derwin James is kind of reverential.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are certainly genuflecting to Derwin James and the impact player he can be.
It's him and Kyle Hamilton, I would say, are the two best in the league. That when they played Baltimore, they were hyping up Kyle Hamilton, too. But, like, those are the guys. So he might not be Ed Reed, but, like, for 2025, 2026.
No,
like,
I don't even mean as a player, right?
Just the way they talk about him.
The way that Bill used to talk about Ed Reed.
Oh, well, Bill was loved Ed Reed.
Right, but this is close to that. Yeah, well, like, I've not heard them be so complimentary of a player. And then Vrabel on top of it called Herbert one of the best QBs in the league yesterday. I would also, if we're going to go a little further down the list and names you want to highlight and look at, Ladd McConkey still... And maybe it's just because that was such a bad draft pick transaction with Elliot Wolf running the show a year ago. Not that you blame Vrabel for any of this. He wasn't here. Cowden and Stretch and all those guys. But remember what McConkey did when he came, never mind just as a rookie, but when he came in here 40-7 a year ago and you had McConkey, or at least you could have drafted him, and you traded out and took Jalen Polk and Javon Baker. I still wonder if McConkey is going to be a bit of a matchup problem. I don't know how much they're going to move their receivers around. I wouldn't throw at Gonzo at all if I were them. So I'd run Keenan Allen at him. I'd run Quentin Johnston at him. I wouldn't even worry about that side of the field. And I would focus on Carlton Davis and Marcus Jones. And I think McConkey could still have a big game, because I don't think he's any less talented than a year ago, Keith.
Yeah, I don't know. How could he be?
I think it's just their balance. I think him and Keenan Allen are similar in where they run their routes on the field. Like, Allen's obviously on his last legs.
Yeah.
And if you look at his breakdown of his season, he was real hot to start the year, like first half of the year. And then the last half of the year, he's top 50 yards, I think, once, if I glanced at that earlier in the show.
Dude, Ladd McConkey was held under 50 yards 10 times.
Yeah. But do you think it's because he, like, isn't as good as he showed as a rookie? Or do you think there's some schematic overlap with where he and Gadsden and Allen all run it? They don't throw a ton under Harbaugh, although Harbaugh was there last year, as he is this year. I just think there's more mouths to feed this year, which is why some of his production has dropped off. I don't think it's a talent thing with him. I don't know
what it is. Because Justin Herbert got sacked a lot, so maybe there were some like plays that were designed for him that just never got off the ground. But he got targeted almost the same amount as last year.
Yeah, so that's crazy. So I didn't realize that. Yeah. The targets are still
so
in line with
last
that.
Year, so he played in 16 games both years. So the game played are the same. His rookie year, he was targeted 112. This year is 106.
Yeah, so it's not a drop. It is, but it's not a significant drop.
But he went from 1,150 yards to 790. Let's call it.
So what do you think it is? He's not as good as he showed last year.
No, you're right. I mean, maybe some of it with Keenan Allen. Maybe it's they don't have as much time to throw
I would think he'd be the kind of guy, and you'd see this with Brady a lot, when Welker and Edelman were here and they had O-lines that could.
His yards per catch were higher last year.
So I can't imagine, like, Quentin Johnston to me would be the guy who's impacted there by a bad O-line. You need plays to develop and you got to get downfield. McConkey shouldn't need to get downfield. I mean, he can.
No, you would. Yeah, he has. But like,
you know what I mean?
Like,
you'd think he'd be the guy.
Is he dealing with something this year too?
Was
he banged up a little bit?
Or
no?
You're the fantasy owner over there.
I played him all the wrong weeks. I played the two good games he had. I think I had him on my bench. Like, it was useless. It was a fool's errand trying to figure out Ladd McConkey and like Zay Flowers this year.
See, Twitch chat is saying Allen's taking some of his numbers away, but you actually just countered that pretty good. The targets in no way are a significant change from a year ago.
Yeah, right. The targets are still there.
That's kind of what I thought it was. I kind of thought it was just Keenan Allen came in. They overlap a lot. Herbert had played with him prior. They're going to look to him and throw to him a lot. But 112 to 106, that's not a big difference.
So it was 112 last year, and the next highest was 91 for targets. This year, he was second with 106. Keenan Allen was 122. But like, if the overall number to him is the same, the production should be better.
Yeah, so he is more the number two, though, in the offense compared to the number one a year ago. But he's getting roughly the same amount of looks. Yeah, I don't know how to square that one
pretty
away.
Much the same.
He's another name I honed in on. Diggs, we mentioned the running backs.
Yeah, Diggs
as well.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, those are some other ones. Non-quarterback division. Mm-hmm. And yet, because we're simpletons, it probably comes down to the
quarterback.
Right?
Yeah. Herbert and May, I would say so.
I mean, that's how I ballpark it. You can jump in here at 617-779-7937. Carl's in Boston. Hello, Carl.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great.
Great show again. I guess the whole, to me, in my opinion, and I could be completely wrong, but in the NFL, the MVP decision is basically the, you know, like a quarterback award.
Yes.
So, which I don't necessarily disagree with, but like, why doesn't the NFL just have like the equivalent of a Cy Young award for like the, you know, the best pitcher, the best quarterback, and then
they do
determine, you know, whether or not there's another player in the league that was more valuable to his team than just the best quarterback in the league.
I think they kind of do that.
Well,
offensive player of the year versus MVP. Don't they kind of do that already?
Yeah, but I guess his point would be like that's sort of inverse. He's like the offensive player should just be the quarterback, like quarterback of the year and then MVP. But
so
I
he
feel
wants
like
to do it like college football where it's, I mean, most college football players, Heisman winners are quarterbacks, but like what do they have? The Davey O'Brien is like the
position
award.
Yeah, oh, they have every individual position award in college. But no, I mean, this one's different because like pitchers only play one every five games. The quarterback plays every game and so does the running back. So I think most years the quarterback would be more valuable than the running back or the wideout. But every once in a while there's a year like Saquon has or Cooper Kupp has and you're like, they should get a little bit more consideration, but they really don't.
Not to be inconsistent, I guess maybe I will be. I think it's all about quarterbacks. And so would I ever personally vote for a non-quarterback? Probably not. And yet, I don't think a quarterback should win it every single year. So how do you square those two away?
I think you just wait.
It has to be like a special year like Saquon.
Like a record-breaking year.
And then like a down year for somebody else.
Yeah, I think if you don't have quarterbacks that are like really, really over-the-top dominant, or they are but their team doesn't win a lot of games or whatever it is, and then you have a 2,000-yard rusher or a 2,000-yard receiver,
like really,
they should be considered.
Really, Saquon last year was the perfect one.
Saquon was perfect.
Because Allen didn't
get a sniff.
Allen didn't really light it up. Yeah, was he third? Was he even third?
I don't even know if he was third. Yeah.
So like that is when they should get in the mix. JSN looked like he was on that kind of run this year.
Yeah.
And then he tailed off at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But okay. I think that's not a major gripe of mine. Drake May doesn't deserve the MVP?
Saquon was third.
Yeah.
But last year, Josh Allen got 27 first place votes. Lamar got 22. And apparently they only had 49 votes. Nobody else on this list got a vote.
Did Curran give up his vote last year actually vote?
Maybe a blank ballot.
Yeah, maybe that was.
So like he was third, but it was like a distant third.
One text here, and this is a difference, I think, Keith, on our wild card picks. We did all that in 60 seconds earlier.
Sure did.
Guys, just a reminder, the Panthers already beat the Rams this year.
Okay.
I think we did cover that.
All right.
But speaking of cover, I think the Panthers do cover against the Rams. I don't think
it's
you do.
It's 10.5, right? No, I'll still go Rams. I'll go Rams over that. But yeah, it is a big number. Like, I don't feel great about it. If we were doing spread confidence picks,
now we're talking.
It wouldn't be super
high. Confidence picks, you just need winners.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying if you combine the two and you're like, how confident am I that they cover the spread? Not super confident, but that still would be my pick.
We mentioned this earlier. You read the Kayshon Booty Players Tribune piece.
Yeah.
I started, I didn't see this for much. I don't know when this came out. It came out after we were off the air yesterday.
I saw it yesterday. Yeah, I don't know.
But I didn't really see it picking up steam until later. So during the Celtics game, I'm watching the Celtics just blow this lead.
Mm-hmm.
And they're down like double digits. I start leafing through this at the end of the game. And I thought it was interesting, number one, just the pure volume of the thing. It was a long, long read.
Like the Wells report.
On the Players Tribune. Yeah. For a guy who, like, and he acknowledges this in the story, he really never talks. If you haven't read it, it's worth a read. He claims he was addicted to gambling while he was at LSU, particularly when he got hurt at LSU.
Yeah.
He's from a very small town in Louisiana.
Yeah, he got in trouble. Remember we had the details? He had what was it, like an 8-leg parlay?
Yeah, the octopus.
The octopus.
Yeah. And so he's from a very small town in Louisiana.
He didn't hit.
Always wanted to play at LSU. Went to LSU, had a monster freshman year, was on pace to be like a first-round pick.
That's what he'll tell you.
Got hurt. He was on pace to win like the Heisman, he claims, as a sophomore. At least be like the number one receiver drafted.
Okay.
Got hurt. Got addicted to gambling, woke up, it's all he could think about, went to bed, it's all he could think about, losing money, paycheck to paycheck, started to impact him on the field in terms of his play, dropped in the draft, got a chance here, got his life back together, had a kid, became a grown-up, and now wants, I mean, I think the gist of the story was people shouldn't let players fall through the cracks, don't forget about these guys. Everybody deserves a second chance, I would say, was the overarching theme of that story. Your thoughts on the Players Tribune piece from Kayshawn Booty?
Yeah, I think also sort of just recognizing that, you know, gambling can get its hooks into people and it could be really, really bad for them. You know, so as much as a lot of it, we talk about it, it's a kind of a part of our show. We'll do like the Bozo Parlay and all that stuff and have fun with it. But there are plenty of people like that is... They can't just use it as like fun entertainment, right? Like they go down that road, and because it is so easy to do everywhere you go, and then you have these college athletes that are involved in that too, and that's something that those guys are always doing, and I don't know, that's tough. So at least sort of talking about it, realizing that it's a problem, maybe giving some other current players right now or even...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
One briefcase, one moment, could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better, because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.
Like high school kids just sort of being like, hey, look, this really isn't for everybody. And maybe you don't want to go down this road that I went down. And it was really messing with my life. And now I know that that's something I got to stay away from. And so that was so I can actually have like a real productive career.
One thing I appreciated in it, and maybe you would disagree, and or maybe you read it in a different way. I didn't think he was overly preachy about gambling, which I did appreciate.
Yeah, no.
Like he's like, look, this is a real issue and not everybody can handle it. He's like, I'm not saying get rid of the apps.
Right.
Because, like, to me...
Well, it's like a lot with, like, you hear this from, like, alcoholics, and they'll be like, look, you guys over there, you can have fun with it. I appreciate you having fun with it. Do it responsibly. Enjoy yourself. It's not for me, because it is killing me, and I either have made mistakes, I'm going to make mistakes, or whatever else it's going to be. So, like, there is something that some people have to know what they can handle and what they can't.
Yeah, what I don't like is when people are like, well, just get rid of it. You shouldn't be allowed to do it.
Yeah, no.
It's like, no.
No.
You should be allowed to drink. You should be allowed to smoke. You should be allowed to gamble. If you can't handle that, or if you just, you know, you have a problem with it, well, then that's fine. And, you know, that's something you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's something that I can't do. But... You know, I wouldn't go so far as to take it away, which he did not say.
No, which is good. But I also think it's good that, like, you have a professional athlete, like, being like, yeah, this was a problem for me. So, like, other kids out there, they're like, oh, it's not my problem. It's like, oh, well, here's a guy who plays for the New England Patriots and was dealing with this. And, like, you know, maybe that is like me. Like, maybe I'm not alone in not being able to, you know, handle betting in a responsible way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might help some people.
I mean, if I was a college kid and there were apps, there wasn't. I didn't. Maybe outside of a stray wager here and then.
These weird sites that it was hard to get your money back.
So I never even did that.
Oh, yeah,
I'm saying, like,
that.
I had friend of a friend who, like, yeah. I know a guy.
Oh, yeah,
let's
yeah.
put a bet down. Like, a stray handful of bets until it became legal here in the States. In Mass, rather, not in the States. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if I were 20.
Yeah.
And I could just have DraftKings, FanDuel, pick your app on my phone. How would that? I have no idea how that would have gone. I didn't do
Spoiler
it.
Spoiler alert. Not great.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
Yeah.
And maybe I would have learned some lessons. Maybe I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But so I can see that's a harder thing for, you know, young people, young men to deal with. What I found interesting, and this was way buried in the piece. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't get this far. But he did have an anecdote that he said he shared with nobody other than his family. Mm-hmm. No one knows this other than his family. I would imagine a bunch of members of the organization and teammates, former teammates would know this. He said, my rookie year in New England. So after he got his chance, he's in New England. When did he get arrested? That was after his rookie year? So I don't know how much of this was all going on at the time.
Yep.
He said, my rookie year, I almost walked away from the game. This is a guy who's been a real significant piece on this Patriots team this year. He said, for real, after my last year at LSU, I went straight into draft training, then to the combine, then to OTAs, and there was never really a break for over a year straight. So he went from his final year at LSU to training for the draft the whole time, right into training camp. He said that was hard, and I was tired physically, mentally, emotionally, everything. One day in training camp, we were sitting in a meeting, and I just got up and left. This is Belichick's story.
Oh, yeah, this is 2023. Yeah.
Okay. I was sitting in a meeting. I got up and left. I walked straight out of the building. I told our GM I was done with football. Who even was that? Wolf?
Was that Groh?
Was it Patricia? Yeah, who even was it? It wasn't Patricia. Who even was it? Was it Groh?
No.
I don't want to play football anymore. Of course, he called me back, tried to convince me to rethink it. Then my agent called me. I sat in my car and I thought about it deep. And he made the choice to come back and continue playing football. Like, what a significant change, not just for him personally, obviously, duh.
Right, right.
But, like, for this team right now, like, Matt, he walks away. That's not a piece that you have right now like that. And that's a guy who has a lot of chemistry with Drake May.
Okay, so what do you have? Jalen Polk still?
I don't know.
Baker still?
Like, play that one.
I don't know, yeah.
And I give Bill a little bit of credit. I wonder if this even trickled up to Bill. It must have. Wouldn't you think Bill would be like, oh, the guy is thinking about walking away from the, walked out of a meeting and is thinking about walking away from the, good, we don't need him. Like, I actually kind of give Bill some credit for sticking by him.
Definitely.
Like, I
realized, hey, we actually have something here. I'm not going to let him do it.
I wouldn't have thought Bill was that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And honestly, I probably would have applauded him if he's like, oh, you don't want to be here? See ya. Walk out. You're done.
Fine.
Bye. You don't love football. We don't want you.
Yeah, no, he's still
by him. I actually, believe it or not, give Belichick some credit for that.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you haven't checked it out, it's a good read at the Players Tribune. It's titled, How the Hell Did I Get Here? By Kayshawn Booty. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. Yeah, got Hart. Yeah, got Fitzy. Yeah, got Ted. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Oh, from Fenway to the Garden, hear them. Midday Boston turning loud, hot takes, hungry crowd. We laugh, we cheer, we drag, one more wild story. It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag. Raise your coffee, wave that flag. Random headlines, wicked gags on WEI with Brag. It's time for Grab Bag.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.